Some of you, old enough, like me, will remember a book titled Amusing Ourselves to Death. It's back in the 80s. And that book was quite a remarkable book. Not necessarily a Christian book, but the whole thesis is about that the people stop thinking because that main topic in that 80s was TV, televisions. So we are stick to that, we're glued to that, and we are amusing ourselves slowly to death. Fast forward the tape to today, TV is almost nothing. A lot of young people, to be honest with you, including me, we don't watch TV anymore. Because everything's readily available on our computers. Even more so, so convenient our smartphones. The entertainment access, social network is readily available. To think is too cumbersome. So, as a young person and when I was growing up, I was athletic and I loved to play outside. And even as a kid, I rarely read books. But when I became a serious follower of Jesus, my mentors would say, "Paul, you should really think about reading these books slowly." The first few books my mentors recommended changed my life. Ever since then, I have dozens of books that I really think this is must read for everyone. But because of today's current culture, almost everyone cannot tolerate really that kind of thick book, especially the sentences are so dense and thoughts are so dense that you cannot just read through it quickly, but you have to read it over and over and over. And everything, even including entertainment, is readily available in reel. Like 3-minute reel, and you could, you know, if you don't watch out, I mean, I'm talking about my own temptation and tendencies. I'm going to watch this reel and stop. And then all of a sudden, 45 minutes or 50 minutes of going through the reel. It doesn't matter. You know, just take it easy. You don't want to take your life too seriously. You know, some have some good, you know, thoughts on that. But today's message, today's passage, sermon text, brings up this issue of the importance of our thought life. The importance of thought life. In other words, our thought life has a lot to do with our anxiety, our insecurity. Or, conversely, our thought life has a lot to do with conviction, stability, and confidence that we ought to have. But the chapter 4, up until now, all about is a one flow of thought concerning peace of mind, concerning how we could have peace of God. And as I mentioned, chapters 4, verse 1 through 9 is one thought. But we stopped. So let's review quickly. There are four keys. Last message, in verse 1 through 7, how to live with peace of God. Key number 1 was to stand firm in the Lord. With convictions, with truth that you believed. And key number two is live in harmony with one another. Key number three, rejoice in the Lord, being gentle with all people. Key number four, turn your anxious thoughts into prayer with thanksgiving to God. Take it to the Lord. The reason why we go through unnecessary anxiety. What a friend we have in Jesus, as does hymnal lyrics teach us. Take it everything to the Lord. And today is actually the concluding of the thought. The key number five is today's text. So what is key number five about? As I mentioned, it's about thought life. The importance of thought life. And should I say, the battle for the mind. And looking at this passage, I think we need to think about it this way. Meditate in this way. Just think about why first. Why is it so important to have to take the battle for our minds seriously? Why? Why is it so important? Otherwise, we'll not pay attention. Number two, what? What do we need to think about? What do we need to linger on, meditate on, in order to win the battle for our mind? Number three, how? The question is, how do we turn this thinking, right thinking, or should we say godly thought life, into the way of life that God is pleased, the godly living, godly thinking into godly living. So keep that in mind as you follow through. So number one, why? We need to know why we must take the battle for our mind seriously. And notice that verse 8 starts with, finally, brothers. We heard finally before, but this finally seems to be real final thoughts that Paul's about to conclude with some of the things. And his main concern, once again, the stability and peace of mind and tranquility and contentment of each believer. Because why? He's very much interested about living with joy in the Lord. But he mentions, think about these things. In the verse 9, he would say, practice these things. And at the end, he gives a first, an overarching reason, the God of peace will be with you. This first and foremost reason to realize the promise that God of peace, the God of peace will be with us. Remember, up until now, he said, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your heart. But this time, the God of peace, this is a greater application, greater impact on our lives. In other words, our thought life has a lot to do with living with God. In God's presence, God's power, God's peace. If you look at other passages, first of all, Romans 8, 6 is in the same theme of that line. For to set the mind on the flesh, whatever that we want to do and our sinful desires, is death. But to set the mind on the spirit, whatever God's spirit desires, is life and peace. In other words, what to think about does matter Whether we experience death-like life or whether we experience life and peace. Isaiah 26, verse 3, you keep him in perfect peace, O Lord, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. God looks for people whose mind, whose thought life is on him because he trusts him. She trusts him. And he keeps that person in perfect peace. So thought life has a lot to do with peace that God gives us. And secondly, moreover, our spiritual warfare begins with the battle for our minds. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, Paul the apostle is writing to Christians in Corinth, and he says, I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Oh, this is utter importance for us. If you feel that your sincere, pure devotion to Christ, in other words, frankly, in the practical way of you feel distant from God, you feel really no passionate love for God, and the things that you got excited about within reading Bible and singing praise songs, and you feel like you threw it away. Does God still love me? Why do I feel so distant from him? Why do I feel so dry? Because our thought life, there's a cunning of the evil one, Satan, going on. Yes, through the internet. Yes, through the some of the serendipitous thoughts that come to us as if we are hit by a truck. Romans 12, verse 2. Paul encourages each one of us, not only to the Roman Christians, to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. How do you become transformed? By changing, renewing our mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Christian life, one of the core values we've been carrying on for 17 plus 18 years at Crossway, is real transformation. Real transformation has nothing to do with going through dramatic things, but real transformation is experiencing changing of our mind, the way we think about things, the way we think about our Christian life, ourselves, about God, by renewing our mind. And then we will be able to discern God's will and what pleases him. So far, the first reason why we need to take the battle for our mind seriously is the promise of God. The God of peace will be with us. Second, spiritual warfare begins with the battle for mind. Thirdly, until we become fully convinced of the importance of the thought life, we're not ready to fight the battle for our mind, especially for its long-term effects. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence. Whenever a Western person hears the word heart, we think about emotion. The biblical heart is a center of being, inner being, which has an intellect and will and emotion altogether. So keep your center of your soul with all intentions, all vigilance. In other words, do not become careless of what kind of thoughts bombard you. For, because, from it flow the springs of life. All kinds of things, positive and negative, things will spring up. This adage or proverb is often credited to many different authors. But I realize this is really the original authority or original author is unknown. But it's worthwhile for us to pay attention. Sow a thought and reap an act. Sow an act and reap a habit. Sow a habit and reap a character. Sow a character and reap a destiny. Long-term effect of our thought life, our battle for our mind, is our actually destiny, not only the character, not only the habit. So let's think about some practical things as to what the passage is actually saying. The second thing we need to do is what? Learn what to think about, win the battle for your mind. Verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. First thing to note, think about the word, recurring word, whatever, in each item. This means this list covers all aspects of our Christian, about our entire life, not just the Christian things per se, or should we say blatantly, religious aspect of that. So one of the wrong thinking is this. Oh, if I really want to love God, I need to listen to Christian music only. I need to listen to Christian radio station only. Christian books only. Christian novels only. No, actually, to think biblically means to think in with the principles of Bible, the Word of God. The Bible, God's Word is sufficient for all, for our Christian living. However, not everything is about, covers that. In other words, if there anything is true, that truth, it's God's truth, not somebody else's truth. Even if it doesn't have anything to do with the religious idioms. When you listen to music, when you listen, when you watch just a very good movie, the good things, the truthful things, tasteful things, beautiful things, commendable things, the excellent things. By the way, the excellence here is a moral excellence, not just being good at something. It's from God. Os Guinness defines to think Christianly this way. Thinking Christianly is thinking by Christians about anything and everything in a consistently Christian way, in a manner that is shaped, directed, and restrained by the truth of God's Word and God's Spirit. (Clears Sadly, I was affected by this, the fundamental movement when I was growing up, and there's an anti-intellectualism among the Christians. That's actually still going on in the church. So in other words, all you have to know is the Bible. Just, you know, claim Jesus as your best knowledge, and you don't pay attention to any books. But actually, that's absolutely wrong. Because when you think about our life, God is not honored just because we're thinking about religious thoughts. But God is honored if we live according to the creation order God has designed for us, which accompanies, you know, covers all, embraces all area. So when you listen to good jazz music or classical music, when you look at an art, whether it's an impressionist or whether it's the latest thing, we could appreciate, we could dwell on. Now, specifically, let's consider the 8 virtues listed here as what to think about. The word think about is actually keep on drilling on or chewing on. Or actually, some other translation will use the word meditate about on these things. So the important thing is that we need to think about these things in 2 different ways. One is deliberately. So, you know, as we are opening the scripture and deliberately meditate on chewing the same thoughts over and over. What does this mean? How does it apply? What does it say again? Deliberately. Or when you listen to Christian hymn or the great doctrine or even the beautiful things, when you look at, you know, you could continually think about. Doesn't it come to your mind when you see the beautiful nature, the amazing nature? Who created this? If God is more beautiful than this, how great thou art is really true. And also, second way is to think about this spontaneously. As you walk through it and throughout the day, and even in the spur of the moment, something reminds. And having that thought as a conversation with God, practicing presence of God together. Another thing, why does it have to do with our peace of mind and tranquility? Because, you know, the first 3 things, true, honorable, just, has a lot to do with truthfulness of God's truth, right? And then the other things that pure, lovely, commendable, excellence, and worthy of praise, this has a lot to do with virtues in terms of our love and passion. What do you love, in other words? Has that ever happened to you? You like one particular artist or song that you listen to it over and over? How lovely. You're loving the right things, in other words. And that's the order, the God's creation order that He made. But I realize, especially in my, you know, past experience, 2-3 years of anxious thoughts, I realized the value of to think about what is true and honorable and just. I want to show you an example. But when you think about the truthful things, once again, not just the, you know, God's word only, but starting with God's word, because everything is shaped by that, we are confronted with two different things. One is true. Which one is true? And if we really believe, begin to believe that God's word is true, not just the make-believe things. And about future, our security, what happens is, as we're thinking about this, slowly, the illusions of anxious thoughts disappear. And this becomes a reality of my mind right now. I don't know, lately you went to a science museum or something, but, you know, once again, it's old, outdated things. Back in the 80s, when I was living in Dallas, Texas, Omni Theater came out. And it was just incredible things. Because the, you know, basically they have it here also too, the IMAX theater, same thing. But Omni Theater was in the dome, and then they show you pictures of the, you know, helicopter flying, and where the whole entire surrounding becomes, you're as if you're feeling like you're up in the air looking at it. The announcer issues caution. If you ever feel dizzy and fear of height, only thing you have to do is close your eyes. And that effect will go again. In other words, your mind is believing, your thoughts are believing that, oh, I might fall. It looks like I'm so high. And then you could close your eyes and the reality is not there. So the effect of meditating on truth and God's word and any truth from God will stabilize us, and it will give us our right perspective for stability and peace and tranquility of our mind. Consider also the antitheses of these eight virtues. When you become careless in your battle for your mind, I want to caution, especially young people, you know, through the internet and your smartphone, there's a lot of things that are harmful. You don't even realize it come. And I had my conversation with my sons about that too. I'm not talking about only sexual content, but the things that make you doubt about reality and the theories is, you know, skepticism and hoax and everything. One of the key things to healthy mental life is having a good thought. And it doesn't take special equipment, but it takes deliberate intention to think about certain things when the negative thoughts or depressing thoughts or lies come into our lives. We need to be decisive about that. So let me share a couple of things. The lasting impact negatively is this. Ephesians 4 verse 14, so that we may no longer be children, Apostle Paul is saying, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. So we become like tossed fro and to by the waves. But if we do it right, the effect, as a matter of fact, this is one of the passages I've been meditating on, thinking about, dwelling on. And it's from Lamentations 3, verse 21, 26. If you ask me, the church condition last year was so much better. My mental life, my emotional life was so much worse. I had a hard time sleeping through the night. I was anxious so many times. But it is said, this year, about this time, if you ask me, how are you doing, Paul? I'm actually doing okay. By the grace of God. Because I learned to think about these right godly things. And this is one example. Lamentations verse chapter 3, verse 21 to 26. Yet this is Prophet Jeremiah saying, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have a hope. He's actually thinking about one of these things, right? Truth and honorable things. Verse 22, because of Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Oh yes, Lord, I need to hear this. I needed to hear this. Because of the Lord's great love, I am not consumed. I am not squashed in my mental life. For your compassion never fails. Even this morning, your mercy is new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I believe that, Lord. I say to myself, verse 24, the Lord is my portion. Lord, I belong to you. You are mine as well. Therefore, I will wait for him. Verse 25, the Lord is good to those who hope in, whose hope is in him. Yes, Lord, my hope is in you. Thank you that you are good to me. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. I could wait. Will you believe what the Lord is saying, or the truth of God is saying, as opposed to the things that are changing and fickle, unstable, questionable, negative, and dark? I pray, and I encourage you, that we practice. You pick a passage from the Word, and you could pick one of the Philippians passages also. Continually think about it. Meditate and chew on it. See if your mental, emotional state changes or not. Now finally, number three is how. Keep turning your godly thinking into your godly living in your everyday life. Verse 9, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So note that the connection between the think about these things and practice these things, are they two different things? No, they are actually the same thing that overflow from our thought life to our conduct, to way of life. Paul uses the word practice instead of do, because practice meant continually doing something, repeating, or training. So unless you really continually practice, you're not good at playing guitar or playing instrument, playing piano, or even as you're learning to drive, you need to practice, right? So as the meditation or thinking about is requires a dwelling on same thoughts over and over, it also requires training, dwelling on the same action for us to grow in godly character and godly maturity. And Paul is giving us a good way to practice. Don't do it by yourself. Look at people who went ahead, and Paul is, you know, pointing himself, imitate me, right? Look at people who trust God and go ahead of you more, and who seems to have the peace that you don't have, or the contentment you don't have. Or how does he or how does she survive through these things like that with joy? Practice those things that they practice. And the promise is that God of love and God of peace will be with us. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 says, train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. And if the God of peace is with you, what is the ultimate long-term effect? We could say this, what then shall we say to these things? Any things that keep us insecure, cause us worried. If God is for us, who can be against us? Can you say that in your life? My brother passed away a few months ago. I felt like I lost a half of my world. But if God of peace is with me, if God is for me and present in my life, who can be against me? You might be going through some difficult trial at this time right now and feeling like you have no way out. But if God is with you in that valley of shadow of death, who can be against you if God is for you? As we close, I want to encourage each one of you be vigilant when things are spilling into your thought life. Be careful what to think about, what you let other thoughts come into your life through internet or media or other things. And even some seemingly harmless conversations with your friends. But if you think the right things and love the right things and practice the right things, God of peace will be with you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this simple reminder, and yes, so true in this day and age. And I pray for all of us who struggle with anxious thoughts, and that you will teach us to think about these things and practice these things. Help us to love the right things and lead the way of life that is pleasing to you. And then we pray that many will be of benefit, not just ourselves, but many who would practice the same things will experience the God of love, God of peace, God of joy in their everyday life. In Jesus' name, amen.